Everybody, welcome to the Minnesota Swim and Vibe cast. I am Mark Seguin, joined today by Annika, not Annika, it's Annika like Anakin, so if you ever see her on deck, you'll know, Bordek from Granite City Aquatics head coach. Welcome, Annika.
Hi.
Hi. Annika is going to talk to us about opportunities today, which is a really, really good subject, and you'll see once we get into it why it's such a fascinating subject. But before we get into that, why don't you just give everyone a little background on your career as a swimmer and your career as a coach so we kind of know where you're coming from.
So I started swimming when I was 8. I started swimming because in the pool that I'm from, Buffalo, Minnesota, they had these big banners hanging on the wall, and I thought that if you were part of the swim team, you got to make a part of the banner. Later, I found out it was the high school team and not the club team that did that. But fortunately, I really enjoyed swimming. So I swam from 8 years old with Wright County Wave all the way through high school, Buffalo High School. I swam in college with MSU Moorhead for 4 years. It took me 5 years to finish my degree. Yeah, go Dragons. It took me 5 years to finish my degree. So I, student coached up there. I started coaching with Red Dragons while I was still living in Moorhead. And then about 7 years ago, I moved to the St. Cloud area. And then I took over the head coach position, going on year number 6 in June for Granite City Aquatics.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I know I see Granite City at a lot of meets, and a really fun team and a really well-coached group of kids. So today you're going to talk to us about opportunities. So whenever I looked for podcast guests, I say, come on and talk with what you're passionate about, and it will usually come across really well. And Annika thought about that, and she said she wanted to talk about opportunities. What does that mean to you when you say you want to talk about opportunities?
Right. So when we have our practices and meets, I'm always talking to the kids about learning opportunities, learning, asking questions at practice. If we have a new athlete join our team, sometimes they can get a little bit nervous. They don't quite understand what I mean when I'm asking, well, how does that feel? Why do you think that might be? What can we do to change it? Really trying to put the emphasis back on the athlete so that they're actively engaging in what they're learning, the workouts that they're doing, how the water feels moving around their body. And so they get a little bit nervous until they start to understand what exactly I'm asking. And then athletes who have been with us for a little while, they don't even need to be prompted anymore. We're constantly asking those types of questions. When we're talking to our younger athletes, we try to make it more like a game. We'll say, we go through our practice expectations, and not only are our practice expectations stuff that I want to see you doing in the water, but they're great things that are going to translate into the real world. Because our job, or at least my job as a coach, is to guide you. Your job as the athlete is to pick your path, and I'm going to help you get to that end of that path, whatever your goal might be, the best that I can. But I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to guide you. Here are some things that we could try. What do you think? Because I want them to be engaging.
I think that's a really good approach at the coaching aspect, right? A lot of times as coaches, we get really invested on what we think an athlete's result should be. But it sounds like you take a step back from that and let them determine what those results are, and you're just there to kind of help them get from where they are now to what those results are, letting them know what they need to be doing. Where does that come from in your coaching background?
So when I was growing up, my head coach of our club had stepped down the day of registration, and my mom having sat in the pool deck or in the bleachers for a year just watching practices, decided to step up, and that was so huge. And she said, you know what, I really want my kids to have a place to swim. This is something that they enjoy doing. It's something I wish I could have done when I was younger. I'm going to coach. So her and I kind of learned together. She started coaching when I was around 11, and she straight up was like, Annika, your skills are beyond my knowledge. Let's learn together. How does this feel? What do you think? How many dolphin kicks do you think you can do off the wall? Well, let's practice that. And so kind of that integration of her and I growing together through my swimming career, I think has really played a huge role and really led me in the direction that I'm going for coaching.
That's awesome. It's great that you get to spend some quality time with your mom and at the same time learn about swimming. So when you talk to athletes and how do you get them to figure out what they want their path to be? That's a big question for a kid, right? They might not even know what's available to them. How do you go about guiding them through that process?
Right. So when we're talking, because I, being the head coach of a small program, an outstate program, I coach every level from my entry 6-year-olds all the way up to my 18-year-olds who are trying to qualify for much higher level meets than just Minnesota state level. So when I'm starting with those 6-year-olds, we're just building confidence in the water. We're building self-confidence in our skills, you know, nervous to jump off the block. Let's turn it into a game and take some of those nerves away. My next level up, kind of those 8, 9, 10-year-olds, they're starting to figure out, hey, I like swimming. This is something that I can actually do. So we focus on what is the path during swim meets. Never once will I tell a kid they got first. I don't care. They come out of the pool. Oh, what place did I get? I don't know. I can't remember. But you dropped 5 seconds and that was amazing because you know why? Oh my gosh, you didn't breathe off your flip turns like we talked about all week. It was so good. You know, that really pushing them towards those small wins. And then that's when you kind of start to see that shift of, hey, this is something I really like to do, or kind of more into a, this is something that is a part of who I am, but not necessarily the direction I want to go in life. Like, this is something I'm doing to stay fit and have and be with friends, and I'm going to swim in high school, but maybe I don't want to do anything after that. And that's just fine. If you want to swim, I want you in my pool and I want you swimming. Those 11 and 12 year olds to 13, 14, that's when we start talking about, okay, high school swimming, what does that look like? How can we transition our club skills into high school? Sorry, but you know how to do butterfly. You're probably going to swim butterfly for your high school team. Things like that, and kind of really directing them towards what are our goals in high school? How do we transition those back to club? Because in high school, you're just trying to make varsity. In club, we're trying to make time cuts. Well, sure, you can control a time cut. You can't control who else is swimming on your team. So how can we relay those time cuts back to trying to get onto that varsity squad? You know, what do you probably have to do? So we start the goals from building confidence in the water and ourselves, connecting with peers, really legalizing all of our strokes so that we can start being a well-rounded athlete, moving into what are some time goals? What are the different standards? What are the different levels of meets? And then as we get up into that high school age kids, is this something you want to do in college? If it is, what are we looking at? Are we looking at a local school maybe? Are we trying to get into a high D1 school? What are our goals? I have a girl right now on the team. She wants to qualify for a meet out in California. I said, wonderful. Let's do it together because I want my first trip to California to be for a swim meet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So your coaching style encourages a lot more dialogue. And it sounds like as the kids get older, they get more invested and are able to actually participate in that dialogue. What communication tools do you use other than just on deck conversations to really kind of help connect with those kids? Because that's a lot of talking. And a lot of coaches think communication is one directional. Right? It's me telling the athlete what to do. It's me telling the athlete what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. But when you're using a dialogue-based thing, there's got to be some more things that kind of you keep in your communication toolbox to get them as kids to engage more. Are there certain questions you use, or?
How are you feeling? How did school go? Right? We got to start small. And so much of it too is body language. You can tell when a kid walks into the pool deck and they did not have a good day at school, or something happened when they got home, or something else is on their mind. So it's usually kind of trying to pull that athlete aside. We do have a smaller team, so we are able to have more of those one-on-one connections between the coaching staff and the athletes. But pulling that kid aside, hey, what's going on? Like, you want to talk to me? You know, how are we feeling today? Okay, you know, something happened at school. How do we turn it around here at the pool? let's work on compartmentalizing, which is a huge skill that you need to have when you get into adulthood. Let's work on, you know, you're angry about this situation. Let's turn it into an effective practice. Let's use that anger and focus on going hard and fast, or kind of that dialogue. We build those bridges of trust, and then we start talking about other things. How do we, you know, get our path to where we want to be for our swimming career? How are we balancing our sleep? That is so, so important. And I think a lot of kids just don't understand. Quality of sleep, going to sleep before midnight is so huge. Water, eating, friends, other sports. You are a student athlete. Schools get you so much farther in life than swimming ever will. So we have a lot of those conversations. We do take time, not like deliberately out of practice, but if something comes up, we'll take a breather and let's have this conversation as a whole group. Smaller groups. I do a lot of one-on-one conversating at meets with athletes. So when they're going to meets, I have that opportunity between events to get to know them. Hey, so-and-so really likes math at school. Awesome. I love math. Let's talk math. So that building those relationships, and then they start feeling comfortable coming to you for other things. And then they start coming to you with, here are my swimming goals. And you don't even have to prompt them for it.
That's so awesome. Just the level of engagement that you have with the kids at a personal level has to go a long way towards their happiness and their enjoyment and their comfort. And I assume you see the results in their swimming in that as well, right?
Right. And then it also, you know, when you build that bridge of trust, you're able to have open and honest conversations when an athlete doesn't necessarily have a great swim. It happens. It happens to all the time. Yeah. But when we have a not so great swim, we talk about how it wasn't a bad swim. It was a learning opportunity swim. Why did we swim that way? Did we miss a flip turn and that's all it was? Because sometimes that happens. Was it the 50 free and you decided to breathe every 3 strokes? That could have something to do with it. Or maybe we didn't eat enough today. We haven't had enough to drink today. You're going on vacation tomorrow, so your brain is not at the pool today. And so we have those conversations of, it wasn't a bad swim. It's a learning opportunity. How do we fix it for next time? You don't like the way you're feeling right now, so what do we do different? And that's where I make them engage and brainstorm with me. This is not my solution. It's our solution. Let's figure it out together.
That's so awesome. And I think you hit on something. I know it's at a core of mine that any swim where you learn something from isn't a bad swim, regardless of time, regardless of place, regardless of anything. If you can take something from a swim and apply it to the next time or apply it to what you need to work on in practice, that's a win, right? That's how we get better. 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I think we see so much focus on the end result and the time, you know, and some of that is just time visibility is so with technology available now with Meet Mobile and Swim Cloud, you can always see what everyone's going and we get focused on that. And we forget that this whole swim journey, I mean, we think from when we were little kids starting out to where we ended up, how much transformation went on throughout that time. And that's just from learning and taking those opportunities, I think. And it's amazing that you coach around that and are so deliberate, I think, in your style that this is how you do it, I think is really exciting.
Yeah, we really, really focus on the process. And trusting the process and picking out those things at practice that we're doing. Let's say we're doing 50 repeats and you're able to hold your time for 8 repeats today. And last week you only held your time for 6. Look at the progress you're making, right? And trusting that progress, that it's going to pay off in the end. It might not be next week's swim meet. It might not be the end of this season. We hope it is, but sometimes that doesn't happen. It's going to pay off. We just have to trust the process and keep working hard. And that's the biggest thing too, is pushing the athletes to understand that you have to continuously give 100%, or 100% today isn't always the same as 100% tomorrow or it was yesterday. But as long as it's today's 100%, we're going to start seeing that progress towards the goals that we're shooting for.
That's great. Here's a tough question for you. So parents are much more engaged in athletes' stuff, I don't know how to say it, but they're much more aware, much more involved. How do you get parents to buy in to supporting you in this style of coaching and not be the crazy parent and the just looking at times?
Right. So I'm really fortunate in that we have a lot of really great parents a part of Granite City Aquatics. And they're, we take a much more kind of laid back approach when it comes to things like that. A lot of the couple of parents that I've had who are a little bit more hands-on, they might've been a college athlete in a different sport. I have a couple of track and field parents who are very involved, which is awesome. But we talk a lot about, we need to just build confidence in the athlete first. And then once we're able to build confidence, because all the technique is there, and I'm thinking of some of my younger kids, the technique's there, the work ethic's there. As soon as we start building the confidence, that's when you're going to see it explode. And encouraging parents to be careful of not only what they're saying, but how they're saying it. On emails that I send out before, like with meet information, the very bottom, it's always like, you are your child's biggest supporter. Even if they had a bad race, let's still be excited for them. Let them lead the conversation. But body language is the biggest thing, right? If you're an athlete and you look up to your parents and they look disappointed, even if you thought it was a good swim, like you don't even know what the time means, you're going to be instantly disappointed. If you look up at your parents and you're seeing the thumbs up, like, good job, you're going to feel excited. It could have been like you added 20 seconds because we forgot that we need to actually kick when we breathe. But you're going to be excited because mom and dad's excited. And so we kind of talk about that, do more email conversations when it comes to that. But
it's nice you give those reminders though.
Yeah. And it's just the tone of how you're talking to your athlete is so important too. You could be saying positive words, but if you got a snarky tone, that's what they're hearing. So that is so important.
That's so true. As the master of sarcasm and a parent, I find myself just usually not saying much.
Right. And if you let the athlete lead, right, let the athlete lead the conversation, then you can usually tell how they're feeling and you can respond based on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to the big win here that I considered looking at this approach. The big win is swimming's over. You're moving on to life and you've had this experience and this approach of having conversations about things. How does this prepare you for life after swimming?
Well, it prepares you for interacting in college with your peers, interacting in college with your professors, going on into the job world and having, you know, in relationship with your boss and being able to explain yourself and how you're feeling. But also be able to, you know, if you need to train somebody in, be able to effectively communicate. It's huge. So we're not just building athletes in the water, but we're building athletes who are ready for the world.
And to me, that is the big win, right? We are creating great people that happen to be really good swimmers or best of their ability swimmers. We're not just creating great swimmers. Because I don't know about you, but no one's asked me my 100 free time in 30 years.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. So at the end of the day, I think those things go away. And this just beautiful hands-on approach that you have and really investing in your kids, I think, is a role model for a lot of coaches, especially young coaches are just starting getting into it and looking for a place to really kind of anchor their coaching philosophy. A great way to start, right?
Right. And I always think to myself, like, what was the coach that I needed when I was that age? And that's who I try to be.
Yeah, that's a great approach too. That's a great approach. Cool. Well, I appreciate you taking time today. We always ask guests, who do you think should be a guest on our podcast that you think would be great? Evan Shanley's already been spoken for.
Jess Colby up in Moorhead for Red Dragons.
Who do you have in your mind where you're like
amazing things with that program?
Okay. Heck yeah. Monticello's finest. Yeah, we will definitely get Bob on. And I love what the Dragons are doing up there. So